State Representative Patrick Windhorst. Patrick, morning. I hope your morning's going well so far.
It's going all right. How are you, Tom?
Good. Well, Springfield, Illinois, the governor's budget last week, nearly $50 billion. What was your first takeaway, Patrick?
Well, $50 billion is a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's my first takeaway. And I actually couldn't help but go back about 4 years when I started and to think where the budget was then. And it was, if I recall correctly, in the mid to high 30s, $30 billion. And I thought that's a lot of growth over 4 years. And, you know, I do know our revenues have increased in the state over that period of time. But I think we need to look at what the cause of a large portion of that increase. And we know over the last few years, there's been federal COVID money and other federal dollars that have come through that have bolstered our state revenues. And then I think the big one is inflation has caused revenues to increase over the last year. And so my concern is when I listen to the governor's proposal, as I heard a lot of the new programs being laid out, what happens if that money isn't there? And what are we setting ourselves up for in coming years? And we don't have an answer to that yet. And I think that's what we're going to be talking about over the next 2 to 3 months as we discuss, debate, and eventually vote on the budget.
So, Patrick, do you think, and I talked to Senator Terry Bryan about this yesterday, and you know, I'm curious about your thoughts. Do you think once the legislature gets a hold of the governor's budget proposal, we'll actually see that budget proposal increase?
There's a likelihood it could, especially if the Democratic majority in the legislature believes there's going to be even more money there that they can spend. And that's really how we got into trouble in years past as a state, is that we expended more than the revenues were. So we ended up, well, on paper saying the budget was balanced, which is required by our law. What we would do is we would actually have a on-paper balanced budget that really wasn't balanced, and we would carry bills over from year to year, and that's how we ended up with months and months of a backlog of bills. We're not doing that right now. We're actually have a much shorter time frame in paying our bills, and we need to continue that and actually make sure we're have a stable fiscal policy in our state.
You know, I have this tendency to be very linear. You don't do the second thing until the first thing is done, and you don't do the third until the second thing's done. I don't have a tendency that I don't like changing my priority stack. And if I think about Illinois and the conversations you've had since you and I've had since you become state representative, the priority at one point, including the governor's, was we'll develop a committee and we'll find a way to cut property taxes. And instead, what I see is a state budget that's going up and property taxes that continue to go up, when that should have been, in my mind, a priority, because it's strangling and it's damaging and people are losing their homes as a result of it.
Exactly. I mean, property taxes is one of the large problems we have to tackle the state, because it leads to what I believe is, if not our biggest problem in the top two, is the loss of population. People just leaving the state because they believe there's better opportunities other places, and because they believe that, and rightfully so, that there is lower taxes in other states, particularly in our surrounding states in our region. And so people just move to Kentucky, Tennessee, Missouri, and live there. So we heard the governor basically say, as it relates to property taxes, the locals need to cut property taxes. It appears to me that he's just basically shifting that discussion from something state government's going to try to tackle to local government, you need to deal with this. And as you know, and your listeners know, property taxes are driven a lot by education funding in our schools, and the state has not met its obligations under the Constitution to be the primary funder of public education. We put that on the property taxpayer, which means property taxes are high compared to surrounding states. So I agree that instead of just forming the commission, letting it do its work, or committee, and then not following up on those recommendations, we have instead essentially pushed that problem off to the local governments.
And what's interesting is that the matter in question continues to roll downhill. So I'm in your district in Golconda at the dairy bar and having strawberry pie. It's really good. They use lard in the crust, right? And I'm talking to the people who are there and the people who own the business, and they say, well, you know, one of the problems with Golconda is that people are leaving the city limits, what's inside the township, to move into the county because their property taxes are lower. And, you know, and so that creates this event that leads to another event, and the third and fourth order event, there's less people to pay, and then more need. And that's just little Golconda. I would imagine that story is a microcosm of what happens at a lot of places across southern Illinois, across the state.
Oh, it does. We see people moving from, like you said, city to county, or moving counties, or even moving out of state, all because of the pressures are being put on them financially with our state's tax burden, which is estimated, if not the number one overall tax burden in the country, in the top two or three. And until we tackle that and make our state an attractive place for people to live and to work and to raise a family, we're going to continue to lose people. And the government programs that have been outlined aren't going to be enough to cause people to come back or move here, because what we're going to see is the money that we need to fund those programs won't necessarily be there in future years. So the state government will be left with two choices: cut that program and not fulfill the promise that's been made, or raise taxes, which further exacerbates the problem. Either way, we need to, I think, be focused on, as a state government, how do we reverse this trend of people leaving the state? And a lot of people like to say, well, it's a Midwestern problem, or it's a climate issue or whatever. And there are arguments all around that. But if you look at areas in our region, no state is losing population like Illinois. And there's a reason for that.
Well, and then you got the Florida governor coming to Illinois and saying, you know, Florida's the fastest growing state. I mean, you know, he was in Elmhurst, I think.
That's right. And he pointed out some of the policies that they have outlined and done. They made higher education more affordable in their state, so students if they're high school students are staying, and people are being attracted from out of state. Of course, people go to Florida for a variety of reasons, but that's just one more that you could point to for people moving there.
Right, and you know, somebody just texting in on property taxes. Well, on the issue of property taxes, when someone loses their home, somebody else becomes wealthy. That's interesting observation from someone this morning. Before I let you go, State Representative Patrick Windhorst, I mean, the governor's Smart Start Illinois, I think it's a laudable goal, right? We've got issues when it comes to guns. That still hasn't been cleared up by the courts. You've got the Safety Act. We're still waiting on the courts. And there are thousands, literally thousands of pieces of legislation, over 3,000, I think it is, when it comes to both the Senate and the House. What do you see in your legislative crystal ball that could be the next Safety Act, the next Protect Illinois Communities Act, or maybe the next great thing that you see in the budget? Maybe it's the 29-week leave. What do you see out there that you would like to draw our attention to this morning, you think is priority item?
Well, the budget every session is always the big item that we tackle, but I think we're going to see, with 78 Democratic members on the other side in the House and a supermajority also in the Senate, more progressive moves. I anticipate, and I don't want this, but I anticipate that there will be a constitutional amendment for the state put forward on the matter of abortion to enshrine the right to abortion in our state constitution. That's one thing that I've heard here recently, that if we don't see it this year, maybe early next year. So I think we're going to continue to see a move, a progressive move of the state because of the makeup of the General Assembly. But I want you and your listeners to know there are good conservative legislators in southern Illinois that are fighting hard and working hard to push back against that. You know, my new role is a floor leader for the House. I'm going to House Republicans. My job is going to be to hold those who are pushing an agenda that's contrary to what we believe is the right direction for the state, to hold them to account and to make sure our voice is heard.
You know what I heard, Patrick, and I have a tendency to condense things once I listen, and what I heard is they can do whatever they want, and they probably will.
They have a large number to do what they want, but we have to understand that ultimately the people rule, and the people will have their say in the election. If the state goes too far to the left, the people will make the correction. And then we also have a court system, which is there to uphold our rights. That's, you know, the beauty of our system is we have majority rule, but we protect the rights of those who are in the minority. And that's how our country has been successful for over 200 years. And I think that's how we'll continue to be successful.
You know, it's interesting because when Patrick talked about the judges, keep an eye on this because hardly anybody's talking about the sheer number of judges that have been approved in Washington. I mean, it's a staggering number of progressive judges. Here's somebody texting me now saying, you know, I live in Creole Springs and I pay $1,100 just to Creole Springs on a 45-year-old house with 2 acres. You know, when you start thinking about that, that piles up. State Representative Patrick Windhorst, as always, Patrick, I really appreciate your time and good luck over these coming weeks. There's going to be a lot to do, and the whole time we'll be watching the court system, too.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate the time.